Tulsa Morning News starts right now.
E-bikes, just an update on speed limits. You guys may have seen that the governor's going to sign into law July 1, or assuming he signs it, will take effect. The new law sets a 10-mile-per-hour speed limit on a sidewalk or pedestrian area if a walker's within 50 feet. It requires bikers to yield to pedestrians on shared trails or park paths and sets fines for breaking the rules at a non-moving traffic ticket and a $30 fine.
And I think this is also the bill that would implement a kind of a study period so that we would look into how better to regulate e-mobility in the state of Florida. This is, you know, it's interesting. You know, we talked with like Sam Abel, and we talked with some folks in Pensacola, and we've, you know, kind of, and you know, Chief Hawthorne, Gulf Breeze Police Chief, about some of the challenges with these e-mobility things where kids are riding these illegal bikes, the ones that go too fast. And there's, I've even seen a nice little flow chart that kind of says, well, if it has more than this much power, then it's not technically an e-bike, it's a motorcycle. And if it has, goes faster than this, it's technically not an e-bike, it's a motorcycle. And, you know, and if it's a motorcycle, well, you have to have a license, you know, you have to have it registered, it has to have a plate. You're not supposed to drive them in certain places. Anyway, the law, if it does get signed, would require you to slow down to 10 miles an hour within 50 feet of a pedestrian on a sidewalk or a multi-use path. And as, well, who was it? Bob Johnson, Chip Simmons, maybe both. We're like, and who's going to enforce that? You know, because, I mean, are you going to be out like, you know, Deputy Knows a Lot is going to be out there behind, you know, the stop sign, hiding sideways with a radar gun, looking down the path. 12 miles an hour, 48 feet from a pedestrian. You getting written up, son! You know, like, how is this really going to work in practice? Are you really going to have deputies and officers woo, pull over the scooter, son? You know, like, what's it going to look like on the ground? Well, you know, like a lot of fine ideas, we'll see how it really works in practice. But, yeah, if he signs it, that would go into place. And then, you know, you're supposed to yield, and then there's fines up to $30, which are not that much, really. I mean, oh, John, what, you had a different
I was thing? Just like, $30, that's going to hurt.
Yes, yeah, so for a kid who's riding a, what's an e-scooter, like a $150, $200, you
yeah.
know, that their parents bought them, you know, for their 13th birthday or whatever, and they go back and forth to middle school on, and, oh, no, $30. Oh, how will we go on? We won't be able to pay our property taxes.
We won't be able to eat,
please,
sir.
Don't take the house, sir, you know. But then again, you know, $30 isn't I mean, it's almost nothing. It's such a low amount. But, okay, you know, like I said, you know, it's something and not nothing.
Reminder that motorized vehicles of any type, that's e-bikes, motorized skateboards, motorcycles, golf carts, ATVs, ATVs or cars and trucks unless for maintenance as provided written permission or special event are prohibited in city parks. Some of our parks have noted some issues with motorized bikes cutting trails in the landscape, especially Bayview Park. We've received, you know, seen some of those photos of going down the hills and all that. We are aware of that and acting accordingly.
Yeah, so that's going to get prohibited. You know, it's funny, once you mispronounce a word and then you mispronounce it a little bit differently, you don't want to come back for that third pass. I understand. I do. So, you can't drive. They've had some problems at Bayview Park, apparently, with people, I guess, I'm reading between the lines, doing wheelies in golf carts or riding the e-bikes, because those e-bikes can go pretty fast, right? The real high-power ones. And I don't know, tearing up the park. I haven't seen it for myself. Meanwhile, he also talked about the housing bill. This is the one that was passed overwhelmingly by the Senate, 85-5 passed overwhelmingly by the House. I forget the number that they, I mean, you know, like 300 and something. It's an incredible number. It's super bipartisan. And this is also the one that now President Trump is like, you know, I just don't know about this anymore since you haven't passed the SAVE Act for voter restrictions that he wants to put in. And he literally said, I'm going to just hold on to this one until you pass the other bill that I want. Now, John, I know we're digging deep in the archives of after school specials and, you know, Schoolhouse Rock.
Right.
But okay, it's only a bill, and then it's working its way up past Capitol Hill, and then it gets over to the White House, and if the president signs it, it becomes law. If the president vetoes it, it goes back to Congress. It needs a...
two-thirds.
On both chambers, a supermajority to overcome the veto, which it clearly has those numbers. Whether Republicans who have voted for this would vote for it over a Trump veto is an interesting question. Just can't say for sure exactly what would happen. But normally what you would say is that they have a massive supermajority that they can easily overcome a veto. But, okay, if he doesn't sign it and he doesn't veto it, then what happens?
Then it becomes law.
Because of the concept of?
I mean, it
becomes law after 10 days. Now even my own, like, how much of my after-school special knowledge is. I think it's 10 days. If the Congress goes out of session, then it can be a thing called a pocket veto where they delay signing it. Okay,
that wasn't in the after school.
I know. There's a lot of fine print.
They just call me a bill.
They only talk about John Hancock's big signature. They don't talk about John Adams and his teeny tiny subtext and the footnotes and the asterisks, everything. Anyway, I don't know. I haven't seen anybody write about it. But if the president doesn't sign it, I'm guessing it just becomes law anyway. In 10 days. So I'm not sure how much of a threat he's got, but the housing bill, this is the one that would limit the big corporations who own 350 homes or more that they couldn't, you know, buy more basically. So the mayor talked about this yesterday.
With the news last night or yesterday evening, certainly very, very pleased at the federal level with the housing bill, with attainable housing obviously being our largest priority. That passed Congress yesterday. I know it's just waiting on the president's signature. We don't talk lots about federal policy legislation up here, but given the fact of, one, the bipartisan support, certainly being part of leadership of U.S. Conference of Mayors, this was a big conversation about trying to get this across the finish line, some glimmer of encouragement in an otherwise divisive country that we can all agree that affordability is a major, major issue and housing is a major issue, and that we can put our disagreements aside as a country and, come up with some real solutions.
Missed it by that much. we almost had massive bipartisan support for something, and then President Trump decided, nope, we're going to partisanship arise this one, and we're going to make it tied to the SAVE Act, which is the voter restrictions and requirements. And there's actually, by the way, I have a note on that. I don't know if you saw this story. This has got to be, I keep thinking I'm going to get to the point where I'm no longer surprised by President Trump's audacity and his disrespect for the rule of law and the separation of powers and the Constitution. And again, I voted for him 3 times, and, please don't make me vote for him a 4th time. but the president does a lot of good things, and he does a lot of wild things. And if you're a supporter, come on, you cannot argue that the man believes in the separation of powers and checks and balances. And, he's pure pragmatism. He believes in what should the right thing to do. It doesn't matter how you get there. Process does not matter. Regulations and rules are just things that get in the way of you doing the right thing. Right? The guy who said that when he was working building contracts, you bribe both sides or whoever's in power because, that's how you get things done. I mean, that's just, he's a pure pragmatist. And his end goals happen to align with the same goals that a lot of conservatives have. But he is not a conservative, not by any stretch of the word. And he's reshaped the Republican Party, no longer in the conservative concept, but in the Trumpian concept. And, they're facts. I don't know if you disagree, then okay. You might not like the implications, but he does not care about process or rules. It's just things that get in his way, which, by the way, again, I say this often, Biden and Obama and even Bush and Clinton, to some degree were like this. He's just very next level about it, okay? And so he's actually on this voting thing. This has got to be the wildest story. I just didn't see this one coming, okay? The head of the post office was talking to Congress yesterday, and he revealed that one of the things that he is going to do, basically at Trump's direction, is that in states who do not have an appropriate Trump-approved voter validation database, as in against which to check whether somebody is appropriately supposed to be voting, if they do not have that in place, according to Trump's standards, the mail will not deliver ballots. You hadn't heard that, John.
No, I haven't.
The U.S. Postal Service would not deliver mail-in and absentee ballots for the 2026 midterms in states that do not comply with President Donald Trump's executive order on election integrity under a proposed rule, Postmaster General David Steiner told members of Congress during a hearing on Wednesday. Quote, under our proposed regulation, no, he said when asked whether the Postal Service would deliver election mail if states refuse to hand over their voter rolls. So if you can't get it through legal action, you can't get the SAVE Act passed, you can't, you know, right? Well, we just won't deliver the mail. So absentee and mail-in ballots just won't go. That is beyond brazen. We're going to order, we're looking at a rule. At whose direction do you think? You know, we're going to have a rule where we're not going to deliver mail-in ballots because the president disagrees with the elections policy of the state in which the mail will be delivered. You know, nobody thinks when you put the mail in the slot that, well, they might not deliver that because they're just not delivering Christmas cards this year. You know? We're not delivering mail to the eastern half of Detroit this year. I mean, does the post office have the legal authority to deny mail of a certain size and shape? Or to a certain box? You wouldn't even think that would be a question because in sort of normal, non-insane, upside-down world America, you would never have the Postmaster General of the United States saying that at political direction, we're not going to deliver absentee ballots in states whose electoral processes we don't agree with. What the Florida? You know, so, you know, I don't know what's going to happen with that, but the point is that President Trump is a pure outcomes-only president, pure pragmatism. It does not matter. He'll use any lever of authority he can use, just or unjust, declared or undeclared, you know, convicted or not, drug boats, Venezuela, Iran. I mean, and I'm this kind of coming as a little bit in the phrase of criticism, but I'm just saying that's just who he is. That's how he's governed. And, if you like that, some people do. If you dislike that, some people do. I mean, you know, it's just there. So anyway, the ability to achieve the goals of the Housing Act are at the moment kind of hung up in the problem of, well, will the president even sign the act that has gotten overwhelming bipartisan support in Congress?
The corporate buyer restrictions I'm a big supporter of. For the first time ever, the bill sets legal limits preventing large institutional investors. And that, I think the definition is owning 350 or more single-family homes from stockpiling additional single-family homes. It doesn't force divestment of current properties and permits corporate entities to build brand new single-family homes specifically for rent.
You know, that's interesting. I had not caught that provision of it. I haven't read the bill, but I haven't seen that reported anywhere that the mayor is aware of that. So you can't acquire existing inventory past 350, but you can still build these rental subdivisions. It's an interesting one because you kind of – you know, I don't like these concepts. I don't like the concept of the corporate ownership of homes. I don't like the concept of them owning these rental subdivisions. There's all kinds of reasons it's very icky stuff. But I think the theory, if that's accurate, is, well, at least they're creating stock. And if they're creating it themselves, how can you tell them that in the interest of, say, fair housing or a better price for housing, then we're gonna create a barrier that they can't even build things? Buying is different than building. So it's an interesting nuance. I hadn't seen that reported before.
So point being, we've heard about that around the country of these large corporations buying up single family homes, that putting pressure on rent rates and prices of homes. So encouraged to see that.
Yeah. So he's real excited about this bill. But again, it's kind of waiting on the president, this push and pull over the voting regulations into the SAVE Act. So, you know, like I say a lot, we'll see what happens. 525 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
You've got to try the new TikTok diet.
Just ask Chad.
I just take blue-green algae.
You just have to eat kale. Kale, kale, kale.
I read you should put butter in your coffee.
Or you could trust your gut. When it comes to your energy, digestion, and overall health, how do you know what's actually right for you? That's where Viome comes in. Viome is a simple at-home gut health test that looks at your body's real-time biology using RNA to show what's going on inside you right now. Not trends, not guesses, your biology. With your results, Viome gives you clear, personalized, actionable guidance. Which foods help you, which ones don't, and which supplements your body actually can benefit from. All based on the world's largest gut health databases and thousands of clinical research studies. Many people who use Viome report better digestion, more energy, and an improved mood within months. So stop guessing. Start knowing.
And maybe still eat the kale?
Maybe. Learn more at Viome.com/know. V as in Victor, Iome.com/KNOW. And use coupon code VIOME50 to save $50 off your purchase.
And eat everything blue.
No, thank you.
Hurricane season is here. Is your home protected? At StormTech Shutter Systems, they provide custom hurricane protection built for the Gulf Coast, including roll-down shutters, accordion shutters, Bahama shutters, storm panels, and storm fabric systems. Their professionally installed products are built to code and designed to protect what matters most. Financing options are available to help make protecting your home easy. Don't wait until the next storm is on the radar. Call today for your free estimate. StormTech Shutter Systems. Protection you can trust when it matters most.
Hi, this is David Williams. I'm seeking re-election to the Escambia County School Board in District 3. I worked for 35 years in the school system, where I've made a difference in students' lives, where I help increase the graduation rate, making sure our schools are safe, and ensuring our students are college and career ready. Please visit my webpage at davidwilliams3.com and view my platform for District 3. Re-elect David Williams, Escambia School Board.
Paid political ad by David Williams for Escambia County School Board District 3.
There are a lot of questions about roof replacement in the news lately, such as insurance companies demanding replacement before they cancel coverage to companies not doing the job that they sold to you. Make sure you tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9:30 as Quality Roofing Solutions will answer your questions. Find out what makes Quality Roofing Solutions the premier contractor in Florida today at 9:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
When storms pop up fast, it helps to already know where to go.
We've got all the details.
News Radio 92.3.
92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
By the way, I did a very scant amount of research, but it's enough to validate that, A, I was right about the 10-day rule.
You got lucky on that one.
No, I didn't get lucky.
Yes, you got lucky.
No, I did not get lucky. I just have memory. You know what happens is when we've sort of outsourced our fact-checking to the internet in an era where I'm hyper-interested in making sure that I get everything right as arguably reliable news source. but you doubt everything. You know, I'll say... You know, the House passed it by 300. My wife's like, are you sure? Crap, I'll go look. You know, but that turns out to be correct, too.
So she right. does that to you, too?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Okay, good. And I'm not the only one.
You know, and I'm thinking to myself, I know what I know. I'll double check, though, just to be sure. So anyway, 437-1620. Somebody says this business with Trump isn't outrageous. It's just politics. He's just, you know, bringing it up, making sure that it happens. Okay. I understand that, but you're taking the side that says there are no rules of what's appropriate, even what's lawful in politics. It's just whatever you can get done is the only thing that matters, and I'm not a pure pragmatist. Even if I like the outcome, if you undermine the rule of law and the requirement that, for example, the president obey the law in the process of getting there, then getting a win at the expense of those things is still, you know, bad for the republic. Even if you like the outcome. 437-1620. What was the thing that I was going to tell you about? Now all of a sudden it went right out of my head. And that does happen every once in a while. A little bit more frequently these days. Don't love that. What's that actress's name? I don't know. Didn't she used to know? Yeah. Oh, Costco opens this morning.
Oh. Don't they have the hot dogs or something?
Doesn't everybody have like a little mini food court at the end?
I think so.
I know people are very, very, very excited about this. Traffic on 9 Mile and Chemstrand is going to be, what's the word I want? Terrible today. I went by last night. We went to the Dairy Queen and drove through the parking lot, which is now open. You can get in and out off of Chemstrand. They finished the construction, so good for them. And yeah, it opens at 8 a.m. I was curious if anybody was standing in line to be able to brag that they were first. Nobody was in line at 9 p.m. last night. But yeah, we got two and a half hours now.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Scores are dead and injured. First responders in Venezuela using their hands, digging through the rubble.
Two powerful back-to-back earthquakes in Venezuela. Rescue teams working around the clock trying to reach people still trapped in the rubble. The 7.2 and 7.5 magnitude earthquakes caused buildings to collapse in the capital city, Caracas, and can be felt as far away as Brazil's Amazon, more than 1,000 miles away.
Fox's Ashley Strohmeyer. Talks between the U.S. and Iran will resume next week. That from the Pakistan Foreign Ministry. The big issues on the table remain Iran's nuclear program and the Strait of Hormuz. Opening night for the Great American State Fair, President Trump the headliner.
We're once again putting a thing called America first.
Well, the massive 60-day exposition across the National Mall in D.C. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 5:31 at News Radio 92.3, and we've got 72 degrees with cloudy skies right now. We're going to get a look at our forecast here in just a few minutes. Well, a Pensacola Beach doctor is facing 41 federal counts for allegedly running what prosecutors describe as a pill mill operation. 58-year-old Edward Scott Morrison is accused of illegally prescribing more than 25,000 controlled substance pills. That includes over 22,000 opioid pills without conducting physical exams, establishing a legitimate medical need, or maintaining patient records. The indictment alleges that Morrison wrote prescriptions upon patients' requests. The controlled substances involve oxycodone, hydrocodone, Xanax, and Adderall, among others. Morrison practices on Fort Pickens Road on Pensacola Beach and holds staff privileges at West Florida Regional Medical Center. Well, one of the oldest cold cases ever solved using DNA has given a Revolutionary War soldier his name back. Private John Pumphrey of Maryland disappeared after the Battle of Camden, South Carolina in 1780. His skeletal remains were among seven unmarked graves at the battlefield. Forensic researchers extracted a DNA sample from Pumphrey's bones, matched it to dozens of descendants of his four nephews through a public database. His military record confirmed he'd been listed as missing after the battle. Pumphrey's remains were reburied with full military honors. Now, the wait is almost over. Pensacola's new Costco on 9 Mile Road opens at 8 o'clock this morning. The 172,000-square-foot warehouse store at 9 Mile and Chemstrand includes a gas station and more than 800 parking spaces. Membership is required if you want to shop in the store. Gold Star memberships start at $65 a year. Executive memberships at $130. Costco is also expected to begin selling memberships outside of the store ahead of the opening. Well, get ready for some intense heat. Summertime is definitely here.
Hot days will close out the last weekend of June. Widespread heat indexes are forecast to reach into triple digits. Don't be too concerned about the tropical waves out there. The National Hurricane Center forecasters say no tropical cyclone formation is expected over the next 7 days in the Atlantic Basin. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
And right now we've got cloudy skies and 72 degrees. Let's check in with Brooke Richardson, who's got a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast this morning.
We are going to be seeing scattered showers and thunderstorms today. 50% chance of that rain overall. Otherwise, partly cloudy skies, high near 88 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 78. For Friday, 20% chance of a stray shower. Otherwise, mostly sunny, high near 89. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 78. Heading into Saturday, plenty of sunshine, 10% chance of rain, high near 90 degrees. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, it is 72 degrees. Our next news in 30 minutes. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Shares of Micron surged almost 15% in extended trading after the chipmaker reported fiscal third quarter results that topped analysts' expectations. Micron also guided for a current quarter revenue of $50 billion. That's up from $11.3 billion a year earlier. And as a result, fellow semiconductor stock Qualcomm also gained 14% after raising guidance for its non-handset revenue in fiscal 2029, calling for $40 billion. That's up from an earlier forecast of $22 billion. Other chip names such as Western Digital, KLA, and more all rose as well. Shares of South Korean chip giant SK Hynix surged more than 12% this morning, buoyed by plans to raise as much as $29.4 billion in a U.S. stock market listing and stronger than expected quarterly results from rival Micron. CNBC analysts say that Micron's quarterly results reinforced expectations that the market for artificial intelligence memory chips remains supply constrained. Futures are moderately higher. That's Your Money Now.
Tune into Transcending the Money Myth, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than just investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Transcending the Money Myth, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC, registered advisors.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
September 2020.
The National Hurricane Center predicted Hurricane Sally would come ashore in Mississippi.
A hurricane warning has now been issued.
But then Sally made a right turn and surprised us by coming ashore here with a destructive power we have not seen since Hurricane Ivan, which is why you should keep your radio on News Radio 92.3 for all the latest watches, warnings, and full team coverage should the storm make that unexpected change of course. News Radio 92.3.
Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News, and we're talking to Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves. This interview is brought to you by Lambert Transfer and Storage. Choose the team with a legacy. Lambert Moving Systems. Visit GoLambertTeam.com. Mayor D.C. Reeves, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here, as always.
Great to have you. Let's start with what I think is the almost perfect coincidence of timing that we can get an answer to a question we've been dying to have the answer for, which is this. We just spent a ton of money renovating Palafox. The big reason was not because of cosmetics. It wasn't even really because of surface issues and the cuts in the pavement. Really, the big goal was to get stormwater management accomplished for the first time ever in the history of that street. We had a massive downpour on Thursday or Wednesday, whatever day it was, right around the time of city council. So how did Palafox handle the big rain?
Yeah, very well. I actually Thursday night it had been raining for a couple hours. We were at our city council meeting, and so then a bunch of us were huddled up waiting on just never-ending rain coming down. I didn't bring an umbrella, so I sprinted in my suit to my car. And before I went to turn to go home the other way, I was like, you know what? I'm in the car. Let's see how Palo Fox is doing. So I drove to Palo Fox and Government, and it was as high and dry as certainly I've ever seen it. In after I don't know how many inches of rain had fallen, but it had been going pretty hard for a while. So that's your complete non-expert stormwater engineer assessment. Uh-huh. But I can tell you what I do know as a former downtown business owner. I own the brewery at Perfect Plain on Garden Street, very close to Palo Fox. We had sandbags, like we just had them in the closet. And so I know many other small business owners are that way. They probably still have them there now
just in case.
That was just the way of life.
Yeah.
The idea that, you know, it certainly feels good to know that you make that type of investment and, you know, maybe they can, I don't know, you know, store napkins and plates and all the other things you need to run a business as opposed to having to, you know, stick sandbags in the back for a rainy day.
I think we have problem solving galore here. You can pitch the county on beach renourishment with all of the sandbags that all the Palo Fox business owners keep in storage just in case. See?
Man, so that's the steward of the taxpayer dollar right there.
Love it. Man, lots of stuff to talk about. I will probably forget because you and I were talking off the air. And next week, you're going to have a chance to do a kind of a cool thing. Tell them. Well, that is a first. We genuinely thought we had this thing figured out. And can I just do a little inside housekeeping? We thought we figured out the phone system by if we call them, it never fails. I was literally telling my engineer yesterday, it's never failed when we call them. Don't ask me to explain why. We just dropped DC when we called him. Sorry, DC. You there, sir?
Yeah, it's all right. It's all right. I was going to say, yeah, this time I was still on, you just went away. So
yeah, right. I know.
You said we were talking off air, and I didn't hear the rest.
Well, if it happens again, call back, please, because we like a lot of stuff to cover. We'll just make it work. Anyway, next week, what's going to happen?
I didn't miss your contact.
You're going to – we talked about it off the air. You got an invitation from the mayor of Philadelphia.
Oh, yes. So all the mayors of the country are getting together for the big America 250 celebration in Philadelphia. So bipartisan group. I think it's going to be televised on C-SPAN. And so kind of time capsule, both literally and, you know, the moment of, you know, all the mayors 250 years later of cities all over the United States getting together. And, so maybe it's a photo of my great-great-grandkids will appreciate one day.
Nice. And I will say there was a part of me that when you said you're going to be on C-SPAN, there's a part of me that's like, oh, cool. And then I'm like, it's C-SPAN. It's nerd fame. But okay. It's still.
Exactly.
You got to take it. It's a good
thing. I'll take it anyway. I can get it.
Yeah, right. Why not? East Hill Sidewalks. You guys are in the process of what? Grinding and repairing and repaving because, you know, there's over time roots grow, things settle, and you get trip and fall hazards, right?
That's right. And we've been doing this around the city. Easy to notice where we've done it. You see kind of the brighter color concrete because we've grinded down those areas that have been pushed up right there at the seams between each kind of concrete space. So, we are going into Old East Hill, really not only Old East Hill, all the way to the bayou, east and west, kind of south of Cervantes. So you'll start to see some more of that work. So if you're out jogging or walking and making it, again, not only more ADA accessible if you're in a wheelchair or on crutches, but even when you're just on a jog, we get a lot of those comments positively saying, hey, you know, I used to run on that road and I'd even trip just jogging with some of these really old ones. And so we're trying to, again, same way we pave roads, all that. Sometimes it's not the most exciting, the sexiest thing to talk about, but this is the type of stuff that we're doing maybe when you're not paying as close attention. That we try to make the city safer and make the city better for everybody.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, the basic work of the engineers, the audio team, the production team, and a theater production. Like, you notice them best when you don't notice. They're doing their job best when you don't notice it at all. Well, you know, a lot of communities, you'll go and you'll see a crack in a pavement and somebody has orange spray painted around it as a hazard, which is a fine day one solution, but that's not a great year one solution, you know? Like, and that's the problem is, you know, getting it fixed in the long run so that it's, or in the shorter run,
absolutely,
so that it's actually in better shape. We're talking to Mayor D.C. Reeves. Hang on for just a second, Mr. Mayor. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Let's see here. We've got an accident, a hit and run in Johnson Avenue by Olive Road, and then we have another one on North Davis Highway by Johnson Road. Those just literally occurred Let's see here. I-10, I-110 are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Mayor D.C. Reeves. Bird on, second stage approval, you know, a 200-plus million project, 76, I think, million coming from Triumph. Just give us the, you know, this is big stuff. What's going to happen? What can we expect to see if this really does go through at the port?
Yeah, absolutely. What you'll see is a $105 million building, 400,000 square feet in the northeast quadrant. And what that means in real terms is that open area, if you've ever sat out back at the fish house or a pit slip area over there, that it's the open grassy kind of quartile, northeastern quartile. That's where we'll go. It'll be what we believe is the Trump administration's first reshoring of shipbuilding jobs in the United States. As you know, this has been a huge priority of the administration. And so City of Pensacola will be the first one to be able to get that done. And it'll be working on boats for the Marines and the Coast Guard. And most importantly, selfishly here at the City of Pensacola, 2,000 jobs, average salary, 80,000. What does that mean? That's $160 million of payroll per year coming from somewhere else, mm-hmm. not moving money around in the same community. But that's $160 million coming from somewhere else other than Pensacola to put food on the table, to pay for power bills, to create futures for people and real careers for people. And so I can tell you the next 4 years, our economic development focus isn't on finding another Bourdon. It's going to be on how do we make darn sure that these 2,000 jobs are going to Pensacolians.
Yeah.
And that means we've got to get very, very proactive on the workforce development side. Fortunately, I'm on the Career Source Board. I've got some of those relationships already. So we're going to have a summit at the city with federal, state, and local workforce development leaders. I'm going to bring them all together and just say, let's identify problems and let's pick solutions right now. You know, that we're not going to wait until these jobs are here. We're going to go ahead and do it concurrently to make sure that our kids and our grandkids are getting to participate and get these high quality jobs.
And I assume a lot of lessons learned from the ST engineering and what went well, what
That's
didn't
right.
go so well is going to, you know, translate into a better capability of, you know, properly making use of that opportunity. I love it. Hey, quick question, just because I've heard it on the rumor mill. The Gulf Power building is still looking for a permanent occupant. And one of the sort of, you know, rumbled, rumored, speculated occupants would be more the management for the Bourdon folks, aside from the big building that they're going to be building. Do you know anything about either is anybody moving into that building or could Bourdon be the occupants?
I have heard that the buyer of that building has reached out to them, but obviously that's a company and a property owner. Certainly the city has no role in that.
Okay.
But I would look at it, I would analyze it from the outside just like you. That would make a lot of sense for whatever their, you know, equivalent management team, where you don't need to be on port, but pretty close by. That would be a good location. And whether that would take up, that's a big building, by the way. Whether
sure,
that would
yeah.
take up the whole building, part of the building, see those, all those details, you know, we're not aware of, but if there's something that we can do to make sure that those jobs are staying close by the port and are in the city of Pensacola, we would absolutely help.
Couple of things I want to talk about. One is the ongoing controversy over the library, where, you know, I've heard Jen Brer's comments. I've obviously read a lot of the reporting, and, you know, now Wes Moreno has apparently canceled the summer meetings over concerns about getting quorum. But if you have three people, you have quorum. So I don't understand that particular objection. But really, it seems like the rumbling from the city council is frustration with the interlocal between the city and the county. Is there any, at this point, any thought that the city and the county might be breaking up and moving to separate library systems?
Well, that's probably the last part of that question is probably more appropriate, at this point for the county, since ultimately the funding mechanism is through a tax. So those are details I don't know, that the what ifs of whether the city would take back its own libraries and all of that. Now, you know, I always say I grew up in a household of lawyers. So I had my dad, my stepdad, my brother. My lawyer joke is I was the only one smart enough to not be a lawyer. Sorry, lawyers out there. So I guess what I'm saying is I think there's really two conversations to be had here. One is the lease.
We'll get him back here in just a second. it's live radio. He's by the way, the folks who are regulars are so good at this that he's literally, I think, back on the line already. Mayor, are you there, sir? Put them on, John.
Part
there we go.
Part of the legal aspect.
Sorry, go ahead, sir.
One part of the legal aspect of what does this mean legally? What does interlocal say and not say? So our city attorney's office is looking at that. So we actually know what we're talking about when it comes to and not alleging things that the county can do this and not do this. Let's make sure legally speaking, we understand where everything is. And so we want to do that before we speak on it. Secondly, is the financial aspect. I think that's the big question is okay, regardless of what the legal assessment ends up being about whether the city can or can't do this, the county can or can't do that, it all funnels to one place, which is what is the future of the operations of the library?
Right.
This went to 2012, 2013, where, to be frank with you, the reason this happened, I know one council person said they didn't want it to happen. I believe the context was the city was going bankrupt doing it. And so that doesn't mean we don't take a look at that, or that doesn't mean that there isn't some viable solution. But I think we need to be in an assessment mode right now to, understand actually legally, not opinion,
right,
but on fact of like where things stand. And then secondly is, what are the what-if scenarios moving forward? And how would that work? How would the taxing item, is that money that goes to the county and then they would want to give it to the city if they were to break up? I believe the county has the authority to say, hey, we're ending this agreement the same way the city does. So there's still, I think, a lot more to hash out on the back end of this than it is foraying into who has legal high ground on what these particular items in the short term, how they can be handled. Because it's going to end in, Andrew, in my opinion, it's going to end in the same place. It's going to end in, okay, here's the dilemma that we're in. If we don't like how it's going, it's going to be changed. What are our options from that point, I believe?
Right. And I mean, which is, I know your approach to kind of everything is, let's learn so that we have an informed opinion, not just be based on speculation, outrage, or, you know, limited information. So I always appreciate that approach.
Right.
We've only got a little bit of time, but I do want to give you a quick second. Florida Doge round two. How excited are you?
Yeah. As excited as you think.
Yep.
Listen, you know what they did? They've asked for a lot of public records that any citizen can ask for and fire away. We thought about just sending back the outside audit completed by an outside agency that just got completed clean 3 weeks ago. I'm guessing that won't be sufficient. So they can ask for it, truly, all jokes aside, ask for anything that you'd like. When citizens should be concerned is if we had insecurity about any agency or any person asking for public records, fire away. And now how they want to subjectively assess those public records moving forward, I can't lose any sleep over that. I can't control how they want to determine the subjectivity of those records. That's not my job. My job is to provide them, and my job is to stand up for the decisions that we make at the city of Pensacola. So,
well, maybe if you do send them that audit, you can assign somebody who works in the city to also explain to them how to read it. Did I say it out loud? Anyway, lightning.
You did, yeah.
I said it. That's right. And I don't say things for no reason. I'll just put it that way. Okay, quick lightning round. On your phone, do you have read receipts always on, sometimes on? You opt to tell people that it's been read. What do you do?
I generally try to not keep them on because I don't want to hurt people's feelings. I'm in and out of meetings. So this line of work, I try to not have them on because then it'll look like I'm ignoring someone. But
I got you.
That's a politician in me, I guess.
Inside your home, doors remain open all the time. Doors get closed all the time. Mix and match. What's the process?
I'm assuming you're talking about interior doors.
That's right.
June or July here.
Yeah.
I think we're more, you know, as mayor, I'm so used to an open door policy, Andrew, that I feel like I'm so committed to it. I think we just have an open door policy here at home as well.
Oh my God. I love how you get to be the fake smarmy politician every once in a while. It's fantastic. Last one for you. Does M&M color matter to you, and how do you eat your M&Ms?
Yeah, it does. And it's more of just disqualifiers. Like, I feel like if I'm eating chocolate with colors on it, like a brown M&M isn't very exciting, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Uh, So, you know, I at least need a little pop of color. But I will not claim that they taste any different.
Fair enough.
I'm hoping that you don't do that.
And just for your knowledge, we found out yesterday that John Pickens has never, ever eaten one in his entire life and actually asked the question, do the red ones taste like cherry?
Oh, my God. How is that? I mean, y'all get on me about Star Wars and stuff. That's ridiculous. How is that even possible? That I think that trumps my no watching Star Wars.
No. The community was fully outraged about it. Mayor D.C. Reeves, as always, thank you for the time. We'll talk to you again in a little while. And thanks for keeping us informed. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Oh, and by the way, just kind of an interesting follow-up note. This was yesterday at the D.C. Reeves press conference. He got asked about the Florida Doge coming to town. This is you'll find this entertaining. You ready?
In terms of the letter sent from Doge, was there anything on there that felt unusual or that concerned you, or it felt pretty standard?
So she asks, you know, is there anything in the Florida Doge request that concerns you, or is it just standard stuff?
Trying to remember what I'm supposed to say and versus what I want to say.
I understand. I very, very much understand. 5:55 on News Radio 92.3. A moment of pretty utter candor from the mayor yesterday about the, I'll let his words say whatever you think they said. How about that? I don't want to put words in his mouth since he didn't, right? All right. Hey, if you're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has an outstanding selection, good quality used cars, about 300 on the lot, trucks, vans, SUVs, minivans, you know, sports cars, even something that John could be happy with. cars that are a year, two, 3 years young, four, maybe 10 to 30 or 40,000 miles. They warranty everything to 100,000 miles or 10 years. So you don't have to worry about the car's reliability. They are reliable. They only buy A-quality cars. And if there's any issues, they fix them up before they sell them to you. And, you know, and then they stand behind it for 10 years or 100,000 miles. What more do you want? I mean, it's great. That's why Dave Ramsey recommends them. That's why I recommend them. That's why when you're driving around town, you see the bumper stickers and license plate frames promoting them, recommending, saying, hey, I bought from them. And that's the point. They have been around for 29 years. And if you think about it, you know, if they're selling 150 about to 200 cars a month, they're selling 2,000 to 2,500 cars a year. And over the course of 30 years, I mean, it's a lot of cars, like 60,000 cars. It's an immense number of cars that they have sold over the course of time to our area. So, yeah, Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for 29 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out this morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information this morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 91% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for the summer and fall semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. That's pensacolastate.edu to learn more.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Friday night, it's the roundup event for Favor House at the Escambia County Equestrian Center on Mobile Highway. Wear your best Western gear and enjoy the live music and great barbecue for a great cause. See favorhouse.org for more. Saturdays from 9 till 2, stroll through more than 200 local vendors in downtown Pensacola's Palafox Market, named by Southern Living as Florida's best farmers market. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Join Corey Miller from Goodwill Gulf Coast tomorrow at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel for their inaugural show. They will be discussing services which are available free to the community and how Goodwill can serve you. Topics will range from education, employment, resources, and more. Text or call in your questions tomorrow and go online to goodwillgulfcoast.org.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions.
Keeping you connected to Pensacola
and the world.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
This definitely rates about a 9.0 on my weird stuffer meter.
Tonight against, depending on what you read, either Turkey or Türkiye. Have you seen the way they're spelling it now with all the
I
weird
have
symbols
with all
and
the,
everything?
Yes.
Come on now. It's America. We can spell it the way we like. America. We don't even spell things the way it's spelled in English. Ask us. But did you happen to catch yesterday, John, the England played Ghana to a 0-0 tie, 0-0 tie, but the commentator said?
As we know, the English historically struggle here in Massachusetts. So what happens here today?
Oh.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and 8.